92nd Street Y online media is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. This program, part of the Unterberg Poetry Center's 75 at 75 project, features Pablo Neruda reading from his work. It was recorded on June 11, 1966, before a live audience at New York's 92nd Street Y.
I am Archibald MacLeish. It is my privilege and very decidedly my honor to introduce to you a great American poet. A great American poet in the precise and particular sense of the word American. The precise and particular sense which includes not only the United States but Chile, and not only Chile but the United States. If any poet belongs to the magnificent double continent which thrusts its unbroken backbone of mountain, one hemisphere of this world to the other, dividing the two enormous oceans, it is Pablo Neruda. And not only because he was born beneath the heights of that unbroken American range, but because he has accepted for himself, as few other poets have in the three centuries of American life, the American commitment which it imposes. I do not suggest, of course, that Mr. Neruda's definition of the American commitment would be the same as, for one example, mine. Nor do I suppose that all citizens of the United States would accept the terms in which he might perhaps express it. I merely imply, more than imply, state that if the American commitment is to be found anywhere, it is to be found in Walt Whitman's Love of Mankind, and if it is to be found there, it is to be found also in Neruda. And I would add with equal confidence that Neruda himself agrees. When in 1948 he undertook to admonish this republic in his Rail Splitter Awake, it was Walt Whitman, uncountable as grain, he called upon to witness for him. The truth is that the quarrel, if there ever was one, between Pablo Neruda and the United States is a quarrel not about ends but means. He believes, as we believe, and as all true poetry must believe, that the end of any valid political undertaking is man, the ultimate liberation of man. From the early poems which made his fame before he was 20, through his residences on the earth, to the four volumes of odes, and the five volumes of the Memorial of Isla Negra, which appeared on his 60th birthday 2 years ago, his constant subject has been man, a personal vision of man which, like Whitman's Song of Myself, has raised the personal to the universal. And it is this fact, of course, which gives our meeting here tonight its twinge of irony. For Neruda's presence here reminds us necessarily of Neruda's absence over a long count of years, when functionaries in Washington seem seriously to have believed that it was the duty of government to protect the American people against a poet whom the most American of all North American poets would have loved. That President Johnson acting very much upon his own impulse, has changed all that, instructing the Passport Bureau to reread the Constitution of the United States is a matter for congratulation all around. At least it renews our earlier and badly shaken conviction that ours is a country in which the people decide such matters for themselves. But to think of Pablo Neruda's work and to see him here on this platform and to realize that it required the intervention of the President of the United States to make this peaceful meeting possible is to find oneself in Wonderland with Alice, wondering how the March Hare and the Dormouse could have shouted, "No room," when there is all the room on earth around the table. But I will not embarrass Mr. Neruda, if indeed it does embarrass him, with our private troubles. He is here, and that's all, for the moment at least, that matters. How shall I introduce him? By saying that he was born in 1904, the son of a railroad hand and a school teacher? By saying that he has been a politician, a diplomat, and an exile, a popularly elected senator in 1943, an exile in Italy, France, the Soviet Union, and Red China in the years that followed, a member of his country's consulates in Rangoon, Batavia, Singapore, Mexico, and Spain? By saying that his collected works in the last edition, already out of date, numbered almost 2,000 pages, and have been translated into Arabian, Chinese, Slovenian, Czech, Hindu, German, French, Italian, Japanese, Russian, Polish, Romanian, Ukrainian, and English? By his own words, "I am only a poet. Give me no thought. Let us think of the world's wholeness, pounding the table with love. Come with me, coal miners, little girls, lawyers and sailors, doll makers. Let's go to the movies and break out a bottle of wine, the reddest there is, together. I didn't come here to solve anything. I came here to sing and hoped you might sing with me too. But to sing is to solve something. To sing as Neruda sings is to enhance life, to ennoble mankind. I shall introduce him to you, therefore, not in his own words, but in mine. A great American poet, a great poet whom we are proud here tonight to claim as American." I have one word of a practical nature to say to you. In order to permit the seating of latecomers, there will be a break after the reading of the translation of the first poem and after Neruda's reading of the poem itself. And now I should like to name the translators whom you know. Nearest me, Mr. Eshleman. Next, Mr. Wright. In the middle, Mr. Bly. Next, Mr. Bellett. And at the end, Mr. Hayes. Thank you.
Let me answer in very bad English, learned so long ago that I forgot it through a long life. A beautiful, kind words of MacLeish, the great poet. I am moved in extreme by his words, by the work of the poet's friends who are here and who have devoted so much trouble to make clear my obscure work. To you all who come to meet a poet who comes so far, from so far away, full of desire of understanding you as I can, as I understood everybody in my life, everywhere. My country is now in full winter. The mountains are full of snow. Everything is cold, and here I found you, not only with the warm weather, but with this feeling of friendship and this welcome, which I never expected, and I thank you so much. Whitman was mentioned by Archibald MacLeish. Only this morning, I bought in a bookshop in the Fifth Avenue a book, his book, which I have bought so many times. And suddenly I ran through three lines, which I want to read to you, where Whitman says in the Song of the Exposition, "Away with themes of war, away with war itself. Hints from my shuddering sight to nevermore return that show of blackened, mutilated corpses, that hell and pent and raid of blood fit for wild tigers or for lop-tongued wolves, not reasoning men." I am proud to be an obscure, small, faraway follower of Walt Whitman, a lover of everything that is done by reasoning men.
Young homosexuals and the hot girls, the gaunt widows suffering from delirious insomnia, and the young wives pregnant 30 hours, and the horse cats crisscrossing my garden in darkness. Like a necklace of throbbing sexual oysters, they surround my lonely house, like enemies set up against my soul, like conspirators in pajamas exchanging countersign of thick French kisses. Radiant summer leads the lovers in identical melancholy regiments made up of fat and skinny and happy and brooding pairs. Under the elegant cocoa palms next to the ocean and moon, there is a steady life of pants and skirts, a murmur of caressed silk stockings, tits sparkling like eyes. The petty employee, after a lot of bitching, a week of boredom, the novels read in bed at night, has once and for all seduced his neighbor, and he escorts her to the wretched movie houses where the heroes are either colts or impassioned princes, and he fingers her sweet hairy legs with his damp hot hands that stink of cigarettes. The seductor's late afternoons and the nights of the married men join like two bed sheets and bury me alive. And the hours after lunch when the high school boys and the high school girls and the priest masturbate, and the animals openly fuck, and the bees smell of blood and the flies buzz angrily, and cousins play peculiar games with their girl cousins, and the doctors glare furiously at the husband of the young patient, and the hours in the morning when the professor absent-mindedly fulfills his conjugal duty and takes breakfast. And even more, the adulterers who truly make love to each other on beds high and long as ocean liners, securely, Eternally, I am surrounded by this great breathing forest, entangled with huge flowers like mouths and sets of teeth, and black roots shaped like fingernails and shoes.
That was written in the year in India, in the year 1927. I read in Spanish. Los jóvenes homosexuales y las muchachas amorosas y las largas viudas que sufren el delirante insomnio y las jóvenes señoras preñadas hace 30 horas y los roncos gatos que cruzan mi jardín en tinieblas como un collar de palpitantes ostras sexuales rodean mi residencia solitaria como enemigos establecidos contra mi alma como conspiradores en traje de dormitorio que cambiaran largos besos espesos por consignas. El radiante verano conduce a los enamorados en uniformes regimientos melancólicos, hechos de gordas y flacas y alegres y tristes parejas, bajo los elegantes cocoteros, junto al océano y la luna, hay una continua vida de pantalones y polleras, un rumor de medias de seda acariciadas y senos femeninos que brillan como ojos. El pequeño empleado, después de mucho, después del tedio semanal y las novelas leídas de noche en cama, ha definitivamente seducido a su vecina y la lleva a los miserables cinematógrafos, donde los héroes son potros o príncipes apasionados, y acaricia sus piernas llenas de dulce vello con sus ardientes y húmedas manos que huelen a cigarrillo. Los atardeceres del seductor y las noches de los esposos se unen como dos sábanas sepultándome. Y las horas después de almuerzo en que los jóvenes estudiantes y las jóvenes estudiantes y los sacerdotes se masturban y los animales fornican directamente y las abejas huelen a sangre y las moscas zumban coléricas y los primos juegan extrañamente con sus primas y los médicos miran con furia al marido de la joven paciente y las horas de la mañana en que el profesor, como por descuido, cumple con su deber conyugal y desayuna y más aún los adúlteros que se aman con verdadero amor sobre lechos altos y largos como embarcaciones, seguramente eternamente me rodea este gran bosque respiratorio y enredado con grandes flores como bocas y dentaduras y negras raíces en forma de uñas y zapatos.
Melancholy inside families. I keep a blue bottle. Inside it, an ear and a portrait. When the night dominates the feathers of the owl, when the hoarse cherry tree rips out its lips and makes menacing gestures with rinds which the ocean wind often perforates, then I know that there are immense expanses hidden from us, quartz in slugs, ooze, blue waters for a battle, much silence, many ore veins of withdrawals and camphor, fallen things, medallions, kindnesses, parachutes, kisses. It is only the passage from one day to another, a single bottle moving over the seas, and a dining room where roses arrive, a dining room deserted as a fishbone. I am speaking of a smashed cup, a curtain at the end of a deserted room through which a river passes, dragging along the stones. It is a house set on the foundations of the rain, a house of two floors with the required number of windows and climbing vines faithful in every particular. I walk through afternoons. I arrive full of mud and death, dragging along the earth and its roots and its indistinct stomach in which corpses are sleeping with wheat, metals, and pushed over elephants. But above all, there is a terrifying deserted dining room with its broken olive oil cruets and vinegar running under its chairs, one ray of moonlight tied down. Something dark, and I look for a comparison inside myself. Perhaps it is a grocery store surrounded by the sea and torn clothing from which seawater is dripping. It is only a deserted dining room, and around it there are expanses, sunken factories, pieces of timber which I alone know, because I am sad, and because I travel, and I know the earth, and I am sad.
Conservo un frasco azul. Dentro de él una oreja y un retrato. Cuando la noche obliga a las plumas del búho, cuando el ronco cerezo se destroza los labios y amenaza con cáscaras que el viento del océano a menudo perfora, yo sé que hay grandes extensiones hundidas, cuarzo en lingotes, cieno, aguas azules para una batalla, mucho silencio, muchas vetas de retroceso y alcanfores, cosas caídas, medallas, ternuras, paracaídas, besos. No es sino el paso de un día hacia el otro. Una sola botella andando por los mares y un comedor a donde llegan rosas. Un comedor abandonado como una espina. Me refiero a una copa trizada, a una cortina, al fondo de una sala desierta por donde pasa un río arrastrando las piedras. Es una casa situada en los cimientos de la lluvia, una casa de dos pisos con ventanas obligatorias y enredaderas estrictamente fieles. Voy por las tardes, llego lleno de lodo y muerte, arrastrando la tierra y sus raíces y su vaga barriga en donde duermen cadáveres con trigo, metales, elefantes derrumbados. Pero por sobre todo hay un terrible comedor abandonado, con las alcuzas rotas y el vinagre corriendo debajo de las sillas. Un rayo detenido de la luna, algo oscuro, y me busco una comparación dentro de mí, tal vez en una tienda rodeada por el mar y puños rotos goteando salmuera. Es solo un comedor abandonado y alrededor hay extensiones, fábricas sumergidas, maderas que solo yo conozco porque estoy triste y viajo y conozco la tierra Yo estoy triste.
Ode with a lament. O girl among roses, O pressure of pigeons, O garrison of fish and rose bushes, your soul is a bottle full of dry salt and a bell full of grapes, your skin. Hopelessly, I've nothing to give you but fingernails or eyelashes, or languishing pianos, or dreams that froth from my heart, dust dreams racing like black horsemen, dreams full of speed and sorrow. I can only want you with kisses and poppies, with garlands drenched by the rain, watching ash-colored horses and yellow dogs. I can only want you with waves at my shoulder, between vague blows of sulfur and vein waters, swimming against the cemeteries that flow in certain rivers, with soaked pasture land growing over sad plaster tombs, swimming against submerged hearts and the pale little notebooks of dug-up children. There is so much death, so many funerals in my abandoned passions and my desolate kisses. There's a water falls on my head while my hair grows, a water like time, a black water unchained with a night voice, with a cry of a bird in the rain, with an interminable shadow of a damp wing protecting my bones. While I dress, while interminably I look at myself in mirrors and in the window panes, I hear somebody pursue me, sobbing out my name in a sad voice rotted by time. You are standing on the earth full of lightning and teeth. You spread kisses and murder ants. You weep from health, from onions, from bees, from a burning primer. You are a blue and green sword, and when I touch, you undulate a river. Come to my soul dressed in white with a branch of blood-smeared roses and cups of ashes. Come with an apple and a horse. For here is a dark parlor and a broken candelabra, some twisted chairs waiting for winter, and a dead pigeon with a number.
Oh niña entre las rosas, opresión de palomas, oh presidio de peces y rosales. Tu alma es una botella llena de sal sedienta y una campana llena de uvas es tu piel. Por desgracia no tengo para darte sino uñas o pestañas o pianos derretidos, o sueños que salen de mi corazón a borbotones, polvorientos sueños que corren como jinetes negros, sueños llenos de velocidades y desgracias. Solo puedo quererte con besos y amapolas, con guirnaldas mojadas por la lluvia, mirando cenicientos caballos y perros amarillos. Solo puedo quererte con olas a la espalda, entre vagos golpes de azufre y aguas ensimismadas, nadando en contra de los cementerios que corren en ciertos ríos, con pasto mojado creciendo sobre las tristes tumbas de yeso, nadando a través de corazones sumergidos y pálidas planillas de niños insepultos. Hay mucha muerte, muchos acontecimientos funerarios, en mis desamparadas pasiones y desolados besos. Y el agua que cae en mi cabeza mientras crece mi pelo, un agua como el tiempo, un agua negra desencadenada con una voz nocturna, con un grito de pájaro en la lluvia, con una interminable sombra de ala mojada que protege mis huesos. Mientras me visto, mientras interminablemente me miro en los espejos y en los vidrios, oigo que alguien me sigue llamándome a sollozos con una triste voz podrida por el tiempo. Tú estás de pie sobre la tierra, llena de dientes y relámpagos. Tú propagas los besos y matas las hormigas. Tú lloras de salud, de cebolla, de abeja, de abecedario ardiendo. Tú eres como una espada azul y verde y ondulas al tocarte como un río. Ven a mi alma vestida de blanco, con un ramo de ensangrentadas rosas y copas de cenizas. Ven con una manzana y un caballo, porque allí hay una sala oscura y un candelabro roto, unas sillas torcidas que esperan el invierno y una paloma muerta con un número.
I'd like only to explain that the title of the Spanish poem is in English and is Walking Around. That simplifies the translator's task, and so I'm sure at least I have two words faithfully. Walking Around. It so happens I'm tired of just being a man. I go to a movie, drop in at the tailor's, it so happens, feeling wizened and numbed like a big woolly swan awash on an ocean of clinkers and causes. A whiff from a barbershop does it. I yell bloody murder. All I ask is a little vacation from things, from boulders and woolens, from gardens, institutional projects, merchandise, eyeglasses, elevators. I'd rather not look at them. It so happens I'm fed with my feet and my fingernails and my hair and my shadow. Being a man leaves me cold. That's how it is. Still, it would be lovely to wave a cut lily and panic a notary, or finish a nun with a left to the ear. It would be nice just to walk down the street with a green switchblade handy, hooping it up till I die of the shivers. I won't live like this, like a root in the shadow, wide open and wondering, teeth chattering sleepily, going down to the dripping entrails of the universe, absorbing things, taking things in, eating three squares a day. I've had all I'll take from catastrophe. I won't have it this way, muddling through like a root or a grave, all alone underground, in a morgue of cadavers, cold as a stiff, dying of misery. That's why Monday flares up like an oil slick when it sees me up close, like with the face of a jailbird, or squeaks like a broken-down wheel as it goes, stepping hot-blooded into the night. Something shoves me toward certain damp houses, into certain dark corners, into hospitals with bones flying out of the windows, into shoe stores and shoemakers smelling of vinegar, streets frightful as fissures laid open. There, trussed to the doors of the houses I loathe, are the sulphurous birds in a horror of tripes, dental plates lost in a coffee pot, mirrors that must surely have wept with the nightmare and shame of it all, and everywhere, poisons, umbrellas, and belly buttons. I stroll unabashed in my eyes and my shoes and my rage and oblivion. I go on, crossing offices, retail orthopedics, courtyards with laundry hung out on a wire, the blouses and towels and the drawers, newly washed, slowly dripping a slovenly tear.
Sucede que me canso de ser hombre. Sucede que entro en las sastrerías y en los cines, marchito e impenetrable como un cisne de fieltro, navegando en un agua de origen y ceniza. El olor de las peluquerías me hace llorar a gritos. Solo quiero un descanso de piedras o de lana. Solo quiero no ver establecimientos ni jardines, ni mercaderías, ni anteojos, ni ascensores. Sucede que me canso de mis pies y mis uñas y mi pelo y mi sombra. Sucede que me canso de ser hombre. Sin embargo, sería delicioso asustar a un notario con un lirio cortado, o dar muerte a una monja con un golpe de oreja. Sería bello ir por las calles con un cuchillo verde y dando gritos hasta morir de frío. No quiero seguir siendo raíz en las tinieblas, vacilante, extendido, tiritando de sueño hacia abajo en las tripas mojadas de la tierra, absorbiendo y pensando, comiendo cada día. No quiero para mí tantas desgracias. No quiero continuar de raíz y de tumba, de subterráneo solo, de bodega con muertos, aterido, muriéndome de pena. Por eso el día lunes arde como el petróleo, cuando me ve llegar con mi cara de cárcel y aúlla en su transcurso como una rueda herida y da pasos de sangre caliente hacia la noche y me empuja a ciertos rincones, a ciertas casas húmedas, a hospitales donde los huesos salen por la ventana, a ciertas zapaterías con olor a vinagre, a calles espantosas como grietas. Hay pájaros de color de azufre y horribles intestinos colgando de las puertas de las casas que odio. Hay dentaduras olvidadas en una cafetera. Hay espejos que debieran haber llorado de vergüenza y espanto. Hay paraguas en todas partes y venenos y ombligos. Paseo con calma, con ojos, con zapatos, con furia, con olvido. Paso, cruzo oficinas y tiendas de ortopedia y patios donde hay ropas colgadas de un alambre, calzoncillos, toallas y camisas que lloran lentas lágrimas sucias.
Thanks for listening. 92nd Street Y, Unterberg Poetry Center webcasts, and access to our archive are made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. For more information on 92nd Street Y and all our programs, please visit us on the web at 92y.org. This program is copyright 1966 by 92nd Street Y.